The widening COVID outbreak in Greater Sydney has reignited calls for Australia to stock up on vaccines as countries around the world rush to secure booster doses. The European Union has ordered a total of 2.4 billion Pfizer doses, 900 million to be delivered from December this year. This comes as the former Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, told us he's recently lobbied the global head of Pfizer to speed up vaccine deliveries to Australia on behalf of prominent business leaders.
They found the Australian attitude rude, dismissive, etc. And this stands in stark contrast, as I was advised, of the approach taken by other heads of government around the world, led by the Prime Minister of Israel, who spoke to the head of Pfizer some 17 times, I'm advised. As I said, it would have been far better if these things were simply handled by Mr. Morrison at that senior political level. I was simply doing my small bit.
Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, who also wasn't claiming that his small bit was responsible for delivering accelerated Pfizer doses to Australia. Certainly the Morrison government denies that Kevin Rudd's intervention made any difference. And Pfizer too put out a statement saying the only two parties were involved in contractual agreements. That's Pfizer and the Australian government. John LaMartina is a former president of Pfizer Global R&D and a senior partner of biotech company PureTech Health in the US. John LaMartina, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
We heard earlier from the former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. He said some Australian business leaders in the United States had been speaking to Pfizer and had heard that Australia displayed what they described as a rude approach. That's been denied by the federal government, who says relations are going fine with the pharmaceutical company. But how important are formal niceties between world leaders and pharmaceutical heads?
Oh, well, at an unusual situation that we're in now, certainly a CEO of any type of biopharmaceutical company involved in COVID would immediately take a call from the prime minister of a country. You cited Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, who worked pretty closely with the Pfizer CEO on a variety of topics related to COVID, not just getting access to the vaccine, but also setting up a collaboration where Pfizer would get a lot of data from the healthcare system in Israel to get real-world feedback about how the vaccine was doing and performing, et cetera. So I don't think any CEO of any biotech pharmaceutical company would reject a phone call from the prime minister or president of any nation in the world, really.
No, but the flip side of that, how much difference does that phone call make? I mean, could a perception around, attitudes within a company, if apparently Australian businessmen in the US had heard from Pfizer they were a bit disgruntled about the approach last year being handled by, quote, a relatively junior bureaucrat. We've already heard that Pfizer have described the approach from the Australian government last year as rude, dismissive and penny-pinching. How much would those perceptions, would they be enough to stall negotiations altogether, even if the Australian Prime Minister, as we're told, is dealing directly with the head of Pfizer in Australia?
So I have to say that I can't comment because I wasn't there, obviously, on how the initial meetings went. The surprising thing to me was in the initial meetings about a year ago that Australia declined an opportunity to put a contract in for the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. They decided to take a wait-and-see attitude. Meanwhile, to contrast with the United States, put a contract in with six different companies for a total of 800 million doses, 300 million from AstraZeneca and 100 million from Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, et cetera. And so clearly, things were different in Australia at the time. The pandemic wasn't as broad as happened in other parts of the world. But nevertheless, they took a wait-and-see attitude. I think where the real wheels really fell off were later in the year in November, when it was clear that Moderna and Pfizer had gangbuster COVID vaccines. And even at that point, Australia only decided to order 10 million doses, which I thought was really a mistake at that regard. So independent of the meeting in the summer, which could have gone very badly with junior people, whatever, nobody seemed to be watching what was going on in the world and ready to pounce when the tremendous activity of the mRNA vaccines became apparent.
And I'm going to come back to that because we're at that moment again almost with boosters. But just before I leave this, can I ask you, given your former position with the company, have you heard on the grapevine that Pfizer was unhappy with the approach from the Australian government?
No, not at all. You have to appreciate the fact that I left Pfizer more than 12 years ago. We weren't even doing vaccines when I was there. So I don't have any insights into all that. I just know what has been happening based on the reports coming out of Australia. And I have to say, I've been pretty surprised by the lack of aggression in getting vaccines compared to countries like Israel. It's one thing for the United States with all its resources to really invest a tremendous amount of money, potentially, assuming the vaccines were approved by the FDA and shown to be safe and effective. But the sort of laying back that Australia did surprised me.
Okay, here we are again at another crunch point. Countries around the world are ordering extra doses for their booster shots this year and well into next year. Canada, we're told, has ordered 125 million doses of Pfizer for the end of the year, which is three times the country's population. The European Union has ordered 2.4 billion doses. Is this hoarding, and should Pfizer cap the number of booster doses it provides until other countries and have had an opportunity to order as well?
So that's a very interesting challenge. So if you're the CEO of Pfizer, first of all, you have to honor the contracts that you sold that back a year ago and make sure that people who did line up then get their doses. There is certainly an issue about the Western nations, wealthy nations signing up and getting the booster, potential for booster vaccines, although I have to say in the United States right now that's been pretty controversial. Pfizer announced that they were going to file an application for the booster shot, and based on data they have out of Israel, which is pretty valuable data, and the U.S. government has not been pleased that when they haven't been able to get everybody vaccinated in this country, that Pfizer's already talking about boosters. But it's a classic problem that goes back to last fall and early winter when the Western nations were buying vaccines and making sure that they were getting their populations cared for. Part of that was due to the fact that these vaccines had to be kept very cold. And so let's use Africa as an example. Africa didn't necessarily have the infrastructure, at least initially, to get all the vaccines distributed there based on the needs of controlling the stability of these vaccines. But nevertheless, now we're in a stage where do you give third vaccines to England and the United States and the European Union and other places and have smaller countries and poorer countries wait a long line? That's a very interesting question that hasn't been decided yet.
Well, it's a marketplace. Canada's reportedly paid a premium to receive its doses sooner than ordered. It's not clear if Australia did that, paid a premium to bring forward 4.5 million doses in August. What influence does price make to vaccine decisions, and does getting drug supplies faster and in larger quantities come down to money?
Well, that's a fair question also, but based on what the Pfizer CEO has said, he said he priced the COVID vaccines based on what he called a takeout meal in the United States and other Western nations at cost for mid-range economies and basically almost for free for poorer nations. So he's been pretty public about that. And I think he's been a straight shooter during all this. I find it hard to believe that Pfizer is basically sending doses out to the higher bidder. I think what they have been diligent about is to basically get vaccine out to those people who ordered it and go in their priority orders based on the contracts that were signed.
John Lamartina, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
John Lamartina is a former president of Pfizer Global R&D and a senior partner of the biotech company PureTech Health in the US.